Hello, and welcome to another special edition of the Reed Report, NAREIT's weekly podcast coming from the JW Marriott in Phoenix, site of Reed World 2016. I'm Fulya Koçak, NAREIT Vice President for Environmental, Social, and Governance Issues. I've been talking with the sustainability leaders of the companies that won the newly announced Leader in the Light Awards for 2016. We're here to speak with each winner's sustainability expert to give you the inside story on how these organizations are achieving short and long-term benefits through their cutting-edge sustainability programs. Joining us now is Jeff Bedell, Vice President for Sustainability with Macerich, winner of the 2016 Leader in the Light Award in retail category. Macerich has a long history of dedication to sustainability and operational efficiencies, so I'm very excited about this opportunity to hear Jeff's thoughts on some of the more pressing issues facing retail real estate. Jeff, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Fulya. Happy to be here. We appreciate certainly NAREIT's longstanding support of sustainability and ESG issues, and hopefully we can provide some insight today that might be valuable to some other people out there that will be listening.
Great. I know you'll give a lot of great insights and some good tips to other folks that are trying to do the same. In the retail sector, you have any number of different tenants with different needs when it comes to their stores and spaces. I have to imagine that responding to all of their requests and also trying to implement property-wide sustainable solutions must be difficult. So how do you respond to that, Jeff?
Well, certainly it has its issues and things we have to work through. You know, especially in retail, as we go into, you know, we're almost barely a week away from Black Friday and the real holiday season kick it off. So big deal for us. And there's a real balance there, right? We have lots of property needs, lots of tenant needs that we're trying to meet those requirements and still allow for a successful retail season as well as year round. But, you know, I think for us, it's a balance. The tenant needs and requirements actually fit very well. I don't think the tenant needs and requirements that we've ever seen out there have hindered or gotten in the way of our programs, especially our operationally based programs. And I think, you know, we'll probably get a chance to talk a little bit more about that. But when you talk about the tenant requirements, I've said before and working with peers and NAREIT before, it's kind of that tenant program and that interaction with the tenants really is kind of the holy grail of truly sustainable properties. So we've spent a long time, as you said, we have longstanding programs that we've been working on for 8+ years. We've really hit the common areas hard. We've done the things that we really can do on our own. And those benefit us as well as the tenants, as well as our guests, and have been the core and the pillar of our success, really. And we do a lot of qualitative as well as quantitative type programs, whether you're talking about hard efficiency gains and reductions, if it's lighting, HVAC controls, the things we all think about when we talk about operational excellence at a retail facility, and the things the tenants focus on as well. We have that common thread. But also when you get into the more qualitative items, when you talk about health and well-being and monitoring and controls of the site for, you know, things like natural light, things that are related to health and well-being and just the on-site environment and what benefits not only Macerich employees but our guests and our retailers. I think one of the things that's unique and always kind of brings me back to that on-site pillar of operational excellence is when you talk about, there's a lot of talk these days about, you know, omni-channel and online retail and all that, and it really still what we find, and I was part of a discussion and a presentation not too long ago where it was really about the idea that great experiences don't happen online, right? They happen in person, right? And where better do those things happen than at retail malls, in retail environments, at restaurants, at movies? That's where people meet. That's kind of the community and the social heart of most communities. So if as a mall owner and prior, that's always been kind of part of our DNA, that was instilled by the founders of the company and it continues today. So all of the things that I have the privilege to do for Macerich and within the industry kind of feed into that. And I think the tenants are right on board with that and it's a real good synergy. So that there's never really much of a conflict there in implementing those. We've been very successful in implementing those things. It's never been a a conflict with tenant needs or requirements, and I think it's very complementary.
Oh, that is wonderful to hear. And I'm just curious to know, you're telling us that there are a lot of overlaps with your tenants' sustainability goals and what you're trying to achieve. Are there any challenges at all to operating efficiently and sustainably in the retail sector?
Well, there certainly is. I think one of the key things that we face is just how do you maintain those things that you implement? I think when you get into things like continual commissioning, monitoring, control on site, how do you quantify the impacts of what you've done, and more importantly, how do you maintain those things? You know, when we put out our annual sustainability reports and we do our reporting disclosure, you know, we have hard numbers that we put to those and we track and monitor those. The biggest difficulty is keeping people engaged on site, keeping those things in place, and not seeing regression. So when we go out and we do these great things at the property that impact the experience there, that impact, you know, our carbon footprint, that reduce energy, reduce water. I think the greatest and hardest thing in the operational sector is maintaining those things and keeping them operating highly efficient. You know, I mean, and we see other things. You know, one of the things we face with the tenants, one of the things that kind of is a hindrance to kind of that holy grail I mm-hmm. refer to is, you know, our long-term view can be a little different than the tenant's view on when they're building out a store, right?
Yes.
So they're looking at a 5-year, a 7-year lease. We do a lot of things that are, you know, 10-year based, 20-year based. We're long-term holders and operators of real estate. So trying to work with the tenants and kind of find that common ground where certain things that we put into our criteria or we'd like to see happen fit within their economic models, fit within their core values, fit within their ability to execute. It doesn't always line up exactly, but we can usually get there.
That is great. And I'm just curious to know with millennials, I think the shopping experience is changing as well. Today, I have some suspicion that the shoppers may not be asking for sustainability as much. And correct me if I'm wrong, but with millennials being a little more aware of what kind of future is awaiting for them and for their children, do you think there will be more demand from the shoppers when they go to a retail store that they would look into how sustainable that store is before they buy anything?
Yeah, I think there's probably a happy medium there, right? Because when you're choosing where you're going to go and where you're going to shop, I think there's a certain amount of convenience and proximity,
yes.
Right? And it's hard to get away from that. But I absolutely agree with that idea that when you talk about millennials and even maybe the older generations are, you know, I look at my generation, which is well above that, and it's, you know, there's a larger emphasis and a greater caring on, you know, the environment and what we're passing down to the next generations and how that's going to impact them. And, you know, just a great example of that is when you look at the great focus you've seen on, you know, we're in the Southwest, based in the Southwest, so we see it a little more. But when you talk about water and drought and all mm-hmm. that, and the impacts you've seen worldwide, you look at Australia and other areas where there's been such huge impacts from epic droughts. People are much more aware of it, and that can only cascade down. I think we will only see more of that and a higher expectation of what we should be doing with our facilities to, again, to accommodate those guests, accommodate those retailers, because it is important to them. Is it their sole decision point? Absolutely not. But it factors in and it's important to them. So I think we have to continue to be sensitive to that, and we have to continue to grow our programs and do more anywhere we can to accommodate that.
That's wonderful. And just when I go to a mall, I look up and I look at this huge roof area, and I get excited for the potential for solar panels. And how can we take these huge, I guess, buildings that has a lot of opportunities and leverage sustainability solutions to make a business case out of them? How are you approaching that?
One of my favorite topics. I'm glad you asked
sure.
that for you. We've had a long-standing program at Macerich, as you mentioned. We've spent many, many years kind of in a building block approach, right? We've been kind of the tortoise, not the hare. We've continued to build on operational excellence. We've implemented capital items. We've refined our loads. We've gotten as efficient as we can. We control all those things. And now we've kind of moved into an area where now those kinds of things, supply-side decisions, supply-side technologies, like solar, like fuel cells, battery technology obviously growing, even just simple, frankly, on-site distributed generation can be a positive thing, because depending on where you are and what you're doing, an on-site gas turbine can be more environmentally friendly than, you know, buying from the utility. Not in all cases, but it all factors in. So you have this myriad of technologies, including solar, where we've got large malls, we've got large roof space, and we've got large parking lots, right?
True.
In most cases. So we have lots of space in most cases. We have room to do it. And we've been able to find, and again, this goes back to being really a long-term holder and operator of real estate, where when you look at 10, 15-year, 20-year models, you know, the economics are there, and you can make that work. You've seen a hesitance, I think, starting to come back into some of those areas, only because when you start looking at certainly the operational side of it is there, as long as you have structural support, as long as you have new roofs and all that, solar makes all the sense in the world on a roof. And even in a carport where it's a little more expensive to build, you can make the economics work. But really what I've seen is a hesitance has kind of started to creep back in, only in that the economics started to look so good for so long because you had these fantastic incentives. Well, you're starting to see some of the states and local utilities hedge back on those incentives or do away with them. So you see a lot of people stepping back going, well, I could have had X return. Now it's only this. Do I still want to do it? When if you look at that base return, it still may not be that bad. So I think over the last couple of years, as you've seen some of those incentives hedge back, you've seen a little more hesitancy. But absolutely, for a retail center and a mall, you look at solar, you look at, and even like fuel cells, which is large. Mm-hmm. It's a large system that you have to have space for.
Right.
But we are well suited to be able to do those things. And when you start combining those technologies and doing them in conjunction, and you look at how those impact your load shape, it has huge impacts on our carbon footprints, on our energy utilization at the property, and frankly, the cost effectiveness of how we can procure our energy. It makes us much better suited to buy our energy in the market and get better pricing in the market, because we are able to take the peaks off with the solar and you take the base off with fuel cell, and then battery storage can fill the middle. So it becomes a very good integration of technologies. I would highly encourage anyone that has the aptitude and the want to look at on-site generation and renewable sources or clean sources. Mm-hmm. Look at how you might integrate those. It starts to become very economically viable as you look at combining those technologies.
That is great to hear. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jeff. And congratulations again on Macerich's win and history of success in the Leader in the Light program.
Thank you, Foya. We're very pleased and honored to have been recognized by NAREIT on that, and we will continue to grow our program. Regardless of the awards, we will continue to do what we're doing.
All right. Well, thanks to you, all of our listeners, for joining us, and stay tuned for more conversations with the 2016 Leader in the Light Award winners.